This is the Sports Draw Podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Top Drawer, the podcast that gives you all the information you want on sports. On this week's Top Drawer, let's take a look at the ongoing Africa Cup of Nations, some of the results and also some of the fixtures. Plus, we'll be looking at what's going on in tennis now that the joke is on the Australians. And then we'll talk about boxing and a little bit of road racing as well. I am Bernard Otieno. I am in the company of Ken Shege and with James Wakabi. Gentlemen, let's talk about what's going on in the world of sports. Not too much razzmatazz starting off the Africa Cup of Nations, but the Africa Cup of Nations is on, and good news is Zimbabwe is playing in the Cup of Nations.
Yes, Bernard, Zimbabwe is playing very, very good news indeed. Important is that the Africa Cup of Nations is actually happening. After being postponed and after fighting, the Europeans fighting us, the European leagues fighting to keep their players, now all the players are in Cameroon. I loved the beginning, Cameroon, starting off with Burkina Faso. Cameroon, as was expected, looked a bit jittery at the beginning. It's the pressure of being the home team, the host, but you know, their experience came the better and they beat Burkina Faso. I think the two penalties that the Burkinabe conceded were just a little naive in my view, and you know, and that's that, and that's a football match. I haven't seen any spectacular football, really. Only that game, the first match that had more than one goal. There were three for in that match, two for Cameroon and one for Burkina Faso.
All right. Moving on, there were other matches as well that were played. Morocco won against Ghana. Now, this was expected to be a showdown, especially for Ghana. They were expected to put up a very good performance as well. They went down by 1-0.
Yep, disappointing from a Ghanaian point of view, especially because Rivac set them up very defensively, wouldn't make a change until they conceded the goal. To be honest, it's one of those games that flatter to deceive. We didn't quite see what you expect when you see Morocco versus Ghana. But then again, this AFCON, you haven't quite seen the fireworks you see.
It's still the early stages, though. It's still just the early stages.
I think it's got the lowest number of goals after the first X number of games. And I think part of it has got to do with the way the preparations have gone and the way COVID has hit. Because when you think about some of the games you've seen, one of the games that stands out for me, for example, was the game for Malawi. They only had four players on the bench because of COVID. Yeah, and two of them were goalkeepers.
There's a little bit of a controversy about this COVID thing as well. Some people are protesting, thinking their players are being kept out deliberately from COVID so that they don't play. In fact, even in the Cameroon match, the Burkinabes complained.
Yes, because in parts of Africa, it's been used as a weapon before the game. And I'll remind you, Kenya versus Comoros, when Kenya landed there, for some reason, the spine of the team had COVID. Arnold had COVID, Wanyama had COVID, Olunga had COVID, Yohana Omolo had COVID. And they wondered, how come this COVID is affecting just the
only the top players? There's top five players, yes.
So, yes, and that's why the Burkinabes were a bit curious. They were like, you can't say that all those COVID tests are there. But then again, how do you do it?
You know, they're saying that when they traveled and when they arrived on that side, they didn't have COVID. And even when they did their own testing, these players did not have COVID. How come when they are now going to play, suddenly they have COVID?
Maybe the question should be, who's doing the tests for COVID? Is it CAF with their own independent lab or are they using the host nation's lab?
No. James, you're not a good man. When you ask questions about who is doing the test, you're suggesting the opposite side is doing the test. Anyway, that was not... that is happening, and it's happening around Africa. Let's move on. Morocco-Ghana was a little bit of an anti-climax. Senegal-Zimbabwe. I told you the Zimbabweans will always send themselves out, as we say in Kiswahili. They were there. Walijituma,
walienda. Only thing is, why this result looks, you know, it was an almost win. An almost win. Because you're talking about 97th minute penalty. Was it a handball? Yes, it was a handball. Senegal kept on pressing and pressing and pressing. But don't forget, Senegal only had six players on the bench. Everyone else had COVID.
This story is not about Senegal. This story is about Zimbabwe.
It's about Zim.
It's not about Senegal. Senegal and Sadio Mane and everybody else. This is not about Senegal. It's Zimbabwe who was going to be knocked out in the very last moment. Somebody is waiting at the airport just to hear, you're not going.
And so you are going.
Yeah, so Zambia then says, okay, let's get on to that. And you know, Zambia will always use an Air Force plane to get there. They would have gotten there the same day to take over. Then you're there, you're playing one of the toughest teams, one of the teams that is highly rated, and you're holding them until the very last moment. It's about Zimbabwe,
one
isn't
the
it?
Things is when you have nothing to lose.
That's
Zimbabwe
the thing.
Had nothing to lose. Okay,
that's the thing.
So,
and also just the fact that look, Senegal are this is the second golden generation. You all remember the first golden generation of Kalilou Fadiga and El Hadji Diop and Pape Bouba Diop. You know, great players. They were supposed to achieve great things, including the current coach. They got to the quarters of a World Cup, never won an AFCON. Now they have the second golden generation, and I feel they also feel the pressure of expectation because everyone thinks, "Come on, Sadio Mane and company, you've got to win." And it sort of felt. I know there's the COVID bit, but even with or without COVID, it still did not seem to quite work, and they just looked jittery. On the other hand, Zim just came out and fought. They literally fought.
This guy has just too much weight on his shoulders, Sadio Mane. Too bad. We'll see what happens in the next game. Gentlemen, let's talk about the game that everybody was talking about. Nigeria versus Egypt. That
huge
is
game.
A final before the final.
It's a huge game.
Yes.
And it pits two teams that have always done well. You've got Egypt. You've got who? You've got Mo Salah.
Yes.
Biggest name in African football currently.
And 25th. Actually, Egypt is the most successful team at the AFCON. 25th appearance now at the AFCON. Eh?
Yes. And they've won it, what, seven times?
Seven times, yes.
Seven times. Niger have won it three times. But then Nigerians have had the typical Nigerian kind of preparation. You know? Some players not called in on time because someone didn't send an email on time. Others have been stopped by their clubs from going. They have an interim coach, but they have a waiting coach who's coming in to observe the interim coach. It's typical Nigeria.
Nigerian football is like the food. You just never know what to expect. The pepper is always too much in it, you know. The okra soup for some reason is too hot. There's always something in it. If you look at the head-to-head, overall, they've played 18 times. They've drawn 5 times. And Egypt has won it 8 times. They have the bragging rights on that. And when you look at it on the AFCON head-to-head, the wins, Nigeria have 3 and Egypt have 2. That sets up a very big clash of two titans in African soccer.
Two titans, and I hope it's not Morocco versus Ghana all over again. I hope it's not two teams that are too scared of each other, that are starting with thou shall not concede. I hope they go out there and actually play football. I really, really need a team to come out and play. Play on the front foot from minute 1 to 90. Morocco-Ghana was like a boxing match between two heavyweights and no one is really trying. Everyone is looking for points. I want someone to go out and look for a knockout. From minute 1.
What's your expectation in this game, Ken?
I'm looking forward to a really exciting match.
No, it will be an exciting match. What's the expectation? You know, Ken, as a way of just running away from questions about what's your expectation?
I'm systematic.
Take the shortest route. What's your expectation?
Egypt will win.
Why?
3-1.
3-1?
Yes, 3-1.
You are not eating any pepper soup today. You don't want any Nigerian friends today.
Nigeria are strong, but I think Egypt just has that cutting edge. They are much faster, and I think technically they may be slightly ahead. That's my take.
What do you think, James?
In the end, it boils down to which of the stars steps up. Can Mo Salah step up and inspire his team? They've also had their issues with COVID, by the way. They actually delayed their departure for Cameroon because of COVID. Can he step up? Can he? And I saw an interview where he was asked, are you feeling the weight of expectation? And he said, listen, there's no pressure in Cameroon. Pressure is back home. 100 million people want me to do something. So how he handles that pressure and whether he's able to deliver, I think for me, that's the main thing.
Yeah, and the pressure is going to be on him. Even the last time he did 60% of the assists and goals as well for the Egyptian side. So Mo Salah has the weight of Egypt on him. As opposed to Nigeria, whose superstars might not actually be there. Odion Ighalo did not turn up there, you know, so they might be. And some others as well from Napoli and from Watford. So they might just want to put up a team that can win, and these guys might show themselves out.
Yes, my only fear is that I don't think Egwavon is going to do great things with Niger. If they had a really, really good coach, then maybe. But now, just looking at it and thinking, what can Iheanacho do? what can Alexi Iwobi do? Because those are maybe their two main guys. What do they do? Ahmed Musa, believe it or not, still in the team, still commands an appearance. Can he show up and do something? But all in all, I get the feeling like we are seeing two heavyweights who are past their prime. You know, the way they are not, they are not 31 and 33. It's like two heavyweights. It's like Evander Holyfield versus George Foreman when they are both in their 40s.
You know? All right, but Egypt has a peculiar problem as well. They have not won in the last five AFCONs. You know, even though they are the most successful, they haven't. Let's look at whether money can motivate them. There's been an increase in prize money. It's not the kind of money you talk about even in a transfer of one player in Europe, but it's still some good money. Ken, what are the, do you have the specifications here?
Yes.
I think it's moved from some millions of dollars.
From $4 million.
5 million? Was it 5 million? 5 million.
From 4 million to 5 million.
Ah, okay. Okay.
So it's,
okay.
It's like a 10% increment on all levels.
Wow, that's a good increment.
That is quite an incentive as to whether that is going to motivate the
It should. Believe it or not, Ken, money is the biggest motivator in the world. If they give you money now and tell you, Ken, you can go on for 2 hours, you will. The runner-up is getting now $2.75 million. We are talking, eh?
Yes, that is million dollars.
Dollars we are talking. And then the semi-finalists will get $2.2 million up from $2.0, and then the quarter-finalists will get $1.175 up from $1 million. That's good money.
It's good money.
Yeah.
By comparison, the Euro prize money.
No. James, stop there. We are not going there. Do not compare.
300 million euros.
There is an increase. That's what you should be looking at. An increase.
Yeah. Of course, that comes from the sponsor, Total Energies.
Yeah. From wherever they get the sponsorship, there's an increase. There's an increase in it. That's what we should be looking at.
But it's, no, James, it's good. These numbers are good.
James,
for
we
us
are moving
dream.
On. Thank you very much, James. We like your mathematics. Do you know there are Kenyan referees as well there? Two of them. There used to be three because they operate as a team. They usually operate a center referee and two assistants. And most likely you are paired up together. And if that center ref is that ref, you are most likely going to be that assistant ref.
Yes, unfortunately, one of them who was a regular, well, things happened and they are now no longer refs. But let's, like you said, let's stay on the positive. And the positive is Dr. Peter Waweru is out there refing.
You know what his nickname is?
No.
Kafofoi.
Kafofoi.
The spider.
Like a spider.
Yeah, that's his nickname.
Because of his limbs.
That's his name, actually. It's his name. Ask him. And he flies with, you know, he's a rider, yeah?
Yes.
He flies with a motorbike. He's got a motorbike that he rides to the stadium. No wonder you can't catch up with him.
He's a very brilliant
Even
man,
if your team has lost and you want to say something to the ref, you look for the ref, he's in a helmet, he's already riding faster. He's an intellectual. He's a mathematics, an applied mathematics lecturer. Pure and applied.
Pure and applied mathematics lecturer. He's also the director of sports at JQuad, so he's got everything going. You know, there's not many things we look back fondly at the just disbanded FKF.
Yes.
But the fact that they were the first office to give him a chance. Because he tried really hard. He was the best ref in Kenya. You and I know this, Bernard. He was constantly the best ref in Kenya, but will never be given the opportunity to step up.
To rise up, yeah.
These guys gave him the opportunity and he's taken it with both hands. And when you watch him, I watched him, Comoros versus Gabon. Excellent.
He reffed the final game of CHAN. I don't know why people forget that. That was huge. And they were with the same team. The assistant is Gilbert Chariot. Incidentally, a mathematics teacher.
And this is one of those things, Bernard, where I'd say, if it weren't for you, I would never have gotten a keen interest into what do the referees do. But you taught me that when we were working together, because you kept saying, guys, you can't just call them a ref. Find out who is he, what does he do.
Yes, they're human. They've got something they do.
So that you're able to understand the person as a whole. You started that culture.
You know, at one time in this country, there was a husband and wife team of ref and assistant ref, just that nobody took interest to know that that was actually his wife.
Share names.
No, if I share names, Omwena will kill me. Okay. No, I haven't said anything, Richard. Did I say anything? No, I didn't.
And I think they did a wonderful job last night.
Yes, they did. No. Once you get to that level, there's no question about it. Yeah. We can only talk about you if you don't do a good job.
So good. The referees are.
It's expected. Yeah. That's what is expected. There's a little bit of controversy on VAR, but let's give it a chance as well for later to see what is going to happen there. Brilliant. So we have the referees there as well. But now let's move on to the land down under. And the joke is now on the Australians. Novak Djokovic was kept in an immigration detention for a couple of days. You know what they call an immigration detention? There might just be a little bit of like a two-star hotel or something.
Yeah.
You know, bed and breakfast and room and probably a TV or something.
Like
but the issue is that he refused to be vaccinated. Now, here is the technicality. That by law, they say they might allow somebody who has been infected in the last 6 months to enter without a vaccination certificate. And here we are, you know, when we get infected, they say nasty things about us every day. They don't look at it as a vaccination. But he was finally allowed to go in, having been done so by a court of law. Anti-vaxxers are happy. They're looking at him as a hero who's crusading against anti-vaccinations. The Australians themselves are not happy. Is it the law that is getting the better of their border control, or what's going on?
It's one of those things where, you know, when they talk about the law and why lawyers make a lot of money, why lawyers are billionaires, is how they're able to interpret different things. Because there was all these clauses about what is allowed, what is not allowed. Now, one says if you've been infected in the last six months,
yes,
then you're allowed to come in. But on the other hand, there's a letter that said you must send for your exemption no later than December 10th.
Yes.
However,
yes,
he
yes.
got COVID on December 16th. So it became a case of, so what comes before the other? Does this qualify for this? Doesn't it qualify for this?
This is the only place in the world I know where a letter of having been infected can probably let you in.
Yes,
than a letter of having been vaccinated.
And if you've seen what's happened now, two things have come up out of him winning. First of all is he was out in public on 17th and 18th.
Yeah.
2 days after he tested positive.
Yeah.
So there's a
With
question
a bunch of
there.
Kids, right?
Yes. Then there's this other question, which is news that are broken early Tuesday, that the Australian government is investigating.
See, that's
that,
the problem. I mean,
that positive test and when it was and whether it was positive or not.
But that affects your performance. That affects your mental state by the time you're getting into any sport.
And because this is not over yet, you know, the lawyers for the federal government told the court that the country's immigration minister was reserving the right to exercise his personal power to again revoke.
So that was his personal power.
Yeah, like he has, like
because
as
a government minister, you know,
yes.
there's that power that's vested in him.
As a person,
yeah.
See, as an aspiring lawyer, I have an issue with that as a person. As a person. Now again, not as a government minister, because that changes things, you know.
Yeah. What we are saying is like the lawyers, you know, and the really.
You know, Ken, if we sit here, then we say that was James Wakabi's opinion. You know, we totally remove him from this equation. So,
anyway,
the technicality is there.
Yeah, so this is not done yet.
It's not done.
I mean, the immigration could choose.
I think there's going to be a fight between one arm of the government and the government itself
one, yes.
and the law.
And
you know it's a federal government. That means so it's the law of that federal state
that
might
matters.
And it might be conflicting with something else somewhere else.
Exactly.
Let's leave it and concentrate on the one that has no controversies. Angela Okutoyi. She landed in Melbourne. You know, she even took a picture and sent us. And she was right there like looking for someone to ask her about her vaccination certificate. And there was no one. Like, I have it. Here it is. You know. Happily arriving there, the only Kenyan there. She's the African champion. She's still a junior. I like what she said. I am a junior, yes, but I have to play with seniors. I have to play with other older players to get the experience. That's why I'm at the Australian Open, not as a junior, but I'm going to play as a tennis player.
She's a top girl. And she's what, 17?
Yes.
And she's just been showing this over the years. She's, because I can't remember this, she's won Sawyer, the
yes.
junior award for the most promising girl in
yes.
Kenya a few years ago. And she just continues growing. And look,
is
we've
she
had
in the nominations again, yes?
She's there
she
in the
okay,
final,
yes,
okay. For the women. Of
yeah,
course,
okay.
this year
so
a bit tough for the women.
So she's
now,
moving up.
She's already moved up.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
it's just to have a Kenyan girl go there and try and do something. She's ranked 60th in the world
yes.
as far as juniors are concerned. And she's
yes.
like, let me go there. Let me have a go. And this from a country that gave us Peter Wekesa, gave us Enopolo. You know, it's just nice to see the ladies are giving us
You're
something.
Forgetting one person, Philip Ilako.
Yes,
Ilako.
As well.
Do you know where Angela went to rest after she arrived in Melbourne? At Philip Ilako's place.
Yeah.
And then
nice.
You say Kenyans are not in big places, eh? So she's at home. She might probably have some ugali and enjoy herself there. But what I liked most is she's among the 46 who are actually going to go into the draw. Now, that's a big thing for a Kenyan. In Australian Open, that's a grand slam.
We really, really hope she can do something positive. It gives her two things. I really want her to get a chance to train away from Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
Just a chance to get a scholarship to train
the facilities.
In the US
yeah.
or in Australia. Mm-hmm. Somewhere where they take this to the next level. And then, of course, it doesn't hurt if she's able to get potential sponsors because she's moving into the seniors.
Yeah.
Why don't they make a bit of money of it? So
you know one thing about Australia? They actually have one visa segment that can allow you to be in the country on account of talent. And talent includes sports.
Correct.
You remember when the Kenyans went for the Olympics?
Yes.
And a few of them didn't come back?
They were talented.
And then in Kenya we said, oh, they have disappeared. They're illegal immigrants. The Australians said, no, their visas are valid. They're in Australia legally. So there's nothing illegal about them. After that, they remained in Australia and got a visa on account of talent.
On account of talent.
Yeah. We are not saying Angela is not coming back. I'm just adding to what you are saying.
Yeah.
That if she ever gets something like that, it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
Because it gives you chance to stay in there, develop your talent, and who knows what you do with it. Once you stay there for long. Because you'll go there, you'll have a chance to do things with it.
I agree.
And probably
all the best, Angela.
Scholarship to go into university.
If she gets it, all the best.
You know,
if she gets a scholarship on account of the talent, not because we can't pay for her university, but because she has talent and there's scholarship for that, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Gentlemen, there was some races that were run last weekend. The other weekend, we never talked about Obiri and the race she ran on the 31st of December. You know, while other people are celebrating crossing the year, how she was running. Okay, but we've got another race that will run, James, just recently.
Yes, in Valencia, a 10K road race, and Daniel Simiu won that race, and as well as Nora Geruto. Now, Daniel, I have a special interest in Daniel, because 2019 at World Championships, the trials, he qualified to represent Kenya, but then he wasn't in the list that AIU has, the Athletics Integrity Unit. So he wasn't in the guys who must be in that list. So he was dropped. And he came this close to quitting, leaving this country and finding a different citizenship. But then he held on. Last year, he got in for Tokyo, went to Tokyo, got to the semis of the 5,000 meters. So for him to now step up and win and become, I think, the sixth fastest guy in the 10K of all time, I think he's going places.
And I think the Kenyans have already started now doing these 10K races in preparation for the whole season. So it's good to see that going on. All the best to the runners as well. There is something on boxing that is going on, eh? You know Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. These guys have fought. It's the fight of their lives. And people are still talking about another bout of the two, which is going to be another grueling fight. But now there's a twist to this tale. Tyson Fury must do a mandatory defense of that fight. He has to.
So,
and what happens is, there's a challenger. There's usually a lineup of challengers.
Yes.
So because he beat Deontay Wilder, there can be a rematch, but he can refuse to do that rematch immediately and fight other challengers. Now there is a mandatory challenge fight that he had to do against an interim champion. He has been slackening against it. He has been given 1 week to sign that fight. If not, then that chance will be given to somebody else. If they don't sign because the disagreement is on the pass money, his camp is getting 80% of the money and the other camp 20, and they're not happy with it. If they do not come to a deal here, this bid will be opened up.
Bad question. So who's disagreeing about the pass? Is it it's Dillian White or is it Tyson?
Tyson Fury's side wants 80%. So it's the other camp that is refusing.
It's refusing the 20%.
Because that's very unbalanced. Because all in all...
But I'm the king.
Yeah, that's the mentality
I'm
usually.
I'm the gypsy king.
Yes, that's usually the mentality.
And interesting is, the initial deadline was actually to have expired.
Yeah.
This 1 week
is an extension.
It's an extension.
So what happens if Tyson says, I want 80%, and Dillian says, no, I'm not taking 20%.
Then there's no
what
fight.
What happens?
No fight. They
and
will
if
open it
no
up.
Fight?
No, WBC will then open it up to other bidders. So other promoters will be allowed to bid for the fight. Literally, it's like you being a sales agent and you want to sell land. Eh? You know, you put your sign there, land for sale. Ken puts his sign, I put my sign. Eh? Then me, I go and negotiate and it fails. Then you go and negotiate and it might work. Maybe me, I'm negotiating for 4 million. You are negotiating for 3.8, 3.5 and it works. So other bidders will come into that fight. And if they get the bid going, the pass money is given to the sanctioning body, the fight will be done. No. That's why it's another bid. You see, that fight has failed. You must remember, it's a mandatory defense. Like, if he doesn't defend it, he will lose his title.
Yes.
So at some point, he has to agree
to fight.
To fight. Okay. And there's also the option of bringing in another fighter if he doesn't agree to this.
Dylan doesn't.
And you know the other fighter, they are touting Andy Rui. He's a Finnish boy and he's as big as a Gypsy King and all that. Eh?
The one who knocked out Anthony Joshua.
Yes. So if he comes, you know, he comes with his promoters as well. They put their bid on the table and they might also say, and they know as it gets closer to him now having to fight, they can even put a 60-40. You take it or leave it. You're not fighting.
Yeah, because he has to fight or lose.
Why can't you get the fight we all want to see?
Which one?
The fight we all want to see is Anthony Joshua versus the Gypsy King. Anthony Joshua versus Tyson Fury. The two British boys.
Yes.
One who is of Nigerian origin and the other one who says, I'm the best boxer in the world.
You see, now that fight just means that the title will remain in Britain, come what may.
Yeah, but can you imagine it at Wembley?
Do you think the Americans would agree to that?
I think
you must read the politics of these things as well.
Yeah.
You think the Americans would agree to that?
Boxing is one of those sports, remember?
It's very, very, it's a difficult sport.
It's one of those sports.
But for that level of fighting, the money must be right. And I can understand that camp of Tyson Fury wanting 80%. Okay, let's say wanting the bigger percentage, but 80% surely? What are you telling me? But look at it from their perspective.
The
look at it from the perspective of why they can do that. If he gets beaten, he's lost it. The other guy is the champion. All the money simply shifts to that other side.
Or maybe they're thinking, look, our guy is the best. I mean, he's the reason everyone is coming to watch this. Who knows who you are? He's the main guy.
So why can't he fight alone then?
He's the main guy. So you are lucky to fight me.
That is agreeable.
I am making money. So here is the thing. We are going to make $100 million.
Yeah.
But out of $100 million, I'll give you $20 million.
Why?
So you don't fight me. Yeah. You can't make even $20 million.
Yeah, but I'll be punching you as much as you're punching me for all those rounds that will take to entertain these guys.
But I'm the king.
Okay.
So what we are saying is that this guy who's refusing to sign up for 20% is afraid he's going to lose.
No, he's not.
No, he wants
to
more
sign
money.
Up. It is Tyson Fury who's refusing to sign. It's not him.
Oh, it's not.
It's not the challenger. It's the Tyson Fury.
Tyson doesn't
camp.
Want 80%.
No, he wants 80%. But the other guys can't agree to that.
So what I'm saying is this. Let him agree to the 20%.
No.
The challenger.
No,
okay?
No.
And then
you don't sell your boxer that short.
He's going to
you don't
he's
sell
be Tyson Fury.
No.
And the next bout,
he's not gonna be Tyson Fury.
No. You don't
he's
sell
going
your
to dictate how much to get.
No, if you're a promoter, you don't sell your boxer that short. No.
He's losing
his $20 million. 60-40 is a good deal. 60-40, but not 80-20. Why the hell would I bring my boxer in there for an 80-20 fight? What are we making out of it? I'm spending the same amount of money in preparation of my boxer to bring him there. So 60-40, I think. If Tyson Fury doesn't agree to that, let's wait until the time lapses.
The
bids will be open. So
in a week's time,
that will open. But we're going to have a fight soon. we were talking about the VAR, but we'll talk about it the next time as well. James, tell us about the BBC personality of the year award.
My new favorite African queen for track 200 meters, Christine Boma, won it. This is a girl who has had to overcome so much. She's an orphan, and then she comes up, she runs very well in the 400 meters, and then we tell her, no, you have too much testosterone, you've got to drop down to the 200. She says, okay, no problem, drops down, wins silver at the Olympics, wins the Diamond League, sets a new world junior record, sets a new African record, and she's 19. Absolutely adore her.
Now they're gonna look for her for the whereabouts.
And that one's fine. She just has talent.
Yeah, and testosterone.
This testosterone fight is something that I have gone back and forth. At times I understand why the other girls are being told to allow it. At times I feel like on behalf of Christine, on behalf of Beatrice Masilingi, on behalf of Caster, on behalf of Nyairera. So you wonder, where's the middle ground, Bernard? What do we do? Who do we hurt? Who do we not hurt?
At one point, I said it and I sounded very controversial. We must have a race for people who have a higher level of testosterone on their own. And we can include it on the calendar. If your testosterone levels as a woman is above this, enter this other race. Not enter the normal race. There's obviously an advantage that you have when your levels are that high.
Yes.
There is an obvious advantage over everybody else. But the disadvantage is it stops you from being in active athletics. So why don't we just design a way of having them in their own race in there?
Like what you have in Paralympics.
Why not?
Where we have different levels of blindness,
different levels of impairments.
And everyone competes against someone who's...
I think so, because Caster Semenya, we've talked so ill about her and about her wins and everything else. We have our own Catherine Nyairera here. with the same problems as well. Now, for this girl, and she's only 19, she probably doesn't even know any condition that she has. Because you remember they once said that now they have to medically bring down those levels if you're to race with the other people.
Yes.
You know, that's altering your genetics and everything else. And altering your hormones. And that can lead to a hormonal imbalance and create other problems. Why don't we have their own race? Just my thinking.
Not to take anything away from her, I think she's done really, really well. You know, she's the first female to win the BBC African Sports Personality of the Year.
That's brilliant.
She's
first, of course, Namibian woman,
of course,
to
first
win
Namibian
a medal at the Olympics, and only the second, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
After who? Frankie? No, but they're not a woman. Not a woman. But
only the third, person overall after Frankie and Nigel Amos.
Well, and winning 200 meters in the Olympics, I think.
She comes from a land of sprinters. And Frankie Fredericks has always been a good sprinter as well, until things happened as well. You know, I don't know why they find these things much later on. But anyway, congratulations to our gentlemen. Anything else we need to add? I know there's a rugby safari conservation coming up. We'll give you details of that the next time when we meet. There's the Motorsports Awards as well. We will tell you who has won it when that time comes as well. And the usual favorite off-season tournament, this time around being played in season, Koth Biro. We'll give you the results of that. And the Kenyan Premier League is going on as well. Is there anything we've left out?
No, let's just enjoy the AFCON.
Yeah.
Let's try and enjoy the AFCON.
Need to get home by 7.
You want to get home by 7?
Yes.
You're not watching, 7 o'clock match.
Egypt, Nigeria.
That's Egypt, Nigeria. Okay. Big matches coming up. We'll give you the details of everything that has happened the next time. Thank you very much for having kept us company on the Top Drawer.
Sports Drawer Podcast.